Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text number 15. Rupam sa jagrihe matsyam. Chakshusho dadi samplave. Navya rupya mahimayam. Apad vaivasvatam manum. Rupam sa jagrihe matsyam. Chakshusho dadi samplave. Navya rupya mahimayam. Apad vaivasvatam manum. Rupam form saha hi jagrihe accepted matsyam of a fish chakshusha chakshusha udadi water samplave inundation. Navi. On the boat. Arupya. Keeping on. Mahi. The earth. Maya. Drowned in. Apat. Protected. Vaivasvatam. Vaivasvata. Manum. Manu, the father of man. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When there was a complete inundation, after the period of Chakshusha Manu, and the whole world was deep within water, the Lord accepted the form of a fish and protected Vaivasvata Manu, keeping him up on a boat. Purport. According to Sripad Sridhara Swami, the original commentator on the Bhagavatam, there is not always a devastation after the change of every Manu. And yet this inundation after the period of Chakshusha Manu took place in order to show some wonders to Satyavrata Muni. But Sri Jiva Goswami has given definite proofs from authoritative scriptures like Vishnu Dharmottara, Markandeya Purana, Harivamsa, etc., that there is always a devastation after the end of each and every manu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has also supported Srila Jiva Goswami, and he, Sri Chakravarti, has also quoted from Bhagavatamrita about this inundation after each manu. Apart from this, the Lord, in order to show special favor to Satyavrata, a devotee of the Lord, in this particular period, incarnated himself. So, the Lord doesn't act in this material world purposelessly, without any purpose. We can say that His leelas have no purpose, like a child's play. It's just for enjoyment. Well, enjoyment is the purpose. Pleasure pastimes. Pastimes for pleasure. So that's the purpose. There is a purpose, even in His childlike play. But when the Supreme Lord descends to the material world, He's entering a different realm. It is not the realm of play. Here it's serious. Just like a child, a boy, 16 years old, maybe playing baseball, And then he sent into the army to Iraq, and he's not on a baseball field anymore. It's a serious environment. His life is in danger, and he may have to kill somebody else. So like that, Krishna comes to the material world. Battlefield. Yeah. War zone. This is Marcha Loka. People get killed here. So Krishna doesn't play in the same way, especially in his Srishti Leela. He comes in his pleasure, his Leela avatars, and he shows, even in the material world, how he enjoys himself in the spiritual world. Krishna is described in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. I'm reading now the 10th canto chapters in the morning. But Shukadeva Goswami is presenting how Krishna shows his eternal pastimes in this world, on this earth, as he did 5,000 years ago. And there's a special slant. There's a lot of killing going on. It doesn't happen in the spiritual world. All the slaughter. But this is a battlefield. There are demons, and Krishna, whenever a demon comes his way, he kills him. There are no such demons don't actually appear in the spiritual world. They appear in the material world. When Krishna shows his pastimes in the material world, lots of demons get killed. But many of them by Krishna's own hands. So he's behaving differently, even in his most enjoyable pastimes as his original form, Krishna. He does things that he doesn't do in the material, in the spiritual world, like shed a lot of blood. And what to speak of his pastimes of creating? Krishna, we can see how Krishna's dancing with the gopis is for his pleasure and the gopis' pleasure. Krishna's sporting with his friends in the forest is for his pleasure and their pleasure. Whose pleasure is creating the universe for? The Supreme Lord doesn't get pleasure out of creating the prison house of the material world built for the suffering of the incarcerated living entities. Bound in their fetters and in the grips of clutches of Maya, living entities just suffer in this world. So it's not an ordinary kind of pleasure pastime, the Srishti Leela, creation. And annihilation Leela, it's time for the flood. The whole universe is going to be, the lower part of the universe is going to be destroyed. That's also not really a pleasure pastime, destroying the world. Building it is not much fun. Breaking it is even less fun. And you have to kill everybody. It's not that Krishna gets great pleasure out of killing everybody, destroying the whole universe. In fact, he delegates this pastime, usually to Lord Shiva. He doesn't do it himself. It's not fun. You know, it's an unpleasant job to have to destroy the whole universe. But here's a pleasure pastime intersecting with the pastime of destroying partial annihilation of the universe. This is the pleasure pastime of Matsya Deva. Krishna also wants to become a fish. He wants to swim in the water. Well, you can't just put him in make him a goldfish and put him in a little bowl. That doesn't suit the Supreme Lord. He can become small. He started off as a tiny fish in this pastime. But it's not really appropriate. It's not good enough for the Supreme Lord just to swim in a bowl. He's got to swim in the whole, not even the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean is not big enough. We have to make a new ocean, the whole universe flooded, for a nice place for the Supreme Lord to swim in. And then he can drag a boat and save the sages and, lots of fun. So the universe is already going to be annihilated. There are different opinions described in the purport about whether this happens after the end of every Manu's reign or not. But we'll take Jiva Goswami's opinion that it actually does happen. Some kind of annihilation, some partial annihilation, occurs at the end of every Manu's vein. But sometimes there are special arrangements for special annihilations. There are regular annihilations and special annihilations. So this annihilation had to also serve the purpose of Krishna's pleasure pastime as Lord Matsya. Matsya, Rupam, this is vritti because of tadita suffix, the form of a fish. But he's also Lord Fish, Matsya. Matsya avatara. Pralaya payodi jale dritavad asi vedam vihita vahitra charitram akedam keshava dritta mina sharira jaya jagadisha hare. All glories to you, O Supreme Lord, Jayadev sings, who has assumed the form of a fish when the world was flooded with the water of annihilation. You very, without any pain, any terrible effort, you made yourself like the boat. Of course, the boat was built and he pulled the boat. To save the next Manu, Vivaswata, son of Vivaswan. There's Vivaswata, the sun god. I'm sorry, Vivaswan is the sun god. He had 10 sons. Vivaswata Manu is one of his 10 sons. And in the previous, during the Chakshusha Manvantara, number 6 period, he was a sage called Satyavrata. Now, the Damodarashtaka is ascribed to Satyavrata. That may be a different person. But anyway, Satyavrata Muni worshipped Lord Matsyadev, Lord Matsya, who appeared to him as a tiny fish and then amazingly, very quickly grew to an amazing size. And because Satyavrata agreed to give care to the fish, he was forced to find a place for this huge fish to occupy the whole ocean and then the whole universe. This pastime is described by Shukadev Goswami in the very last chapter of the 8th canto. Only one chapter, but it doesn't mean that he's an unimportant avatar. One of the Dasha avatars, one of the 10 avatars glorified by Jayadev Kavi in the Dasha Avatara Stotra. In this pastime, we only know about one devotee that he has. We don't read about many, even, I guess, do the sages and others come and offer prayers? They must. To the sages. Okay, so they're also his devotees. But there's one prominent devotee, and that's Satyavrata. The demigods must come and offer prayers too, but they're just the audience. So this is not a big production pastime, big production avatar with a cast of thousands. Small cast, one main character, one main devotee, and the sages are also there getting instructions. You can contrast it with the pastimes of Krishna, Ramachandra, where there are thousands and thousands of devotees. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's also surrounded by hundreds and thousands of devotees. And his pastimes continue into the later generations, up to our generation and further. There are millions. In the future, there'll be billions of devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's a big production avatar. It's not even finished. Just like a play is musician puts on a recital, plays so many pieces of music, Isaac Stern playing his fiddle, and he goes on for 2 hours playing, you know, so many wonderful pieces of music, and he's done. He's finished the program. But the audience is not satisfied. They want, Yes? Encore. Something else. Let me play some nice, fancy, quick, slow, you know, quick piece. A few of them to satisfy the audience, and then he can go home. So like that, encore. What Leela was I talking about? Yeah. Oh, yeah, the encore. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya has already left this world. Officially, his pastimes are finished. He only was on this planet for 48 years. But the encore is still going on. You know, he's left the stage. You know, he's packed up his fiddle and gone home. But someone else is performing. His devotees are performing the encore. And that will go on for 10,000 years. This is amazing. Big production that not only has a huge cast, but it goes on for 10,000 years. That's an avatar. So Machi Avatar's, his avatar is more modest. It has a small cast. It's a simple pastime. It's just, it can be described easily in one chapter of the Bhagavatam. But it doesn't mean that it's insignificant. It's one of the top 10 incarnations. Hare Krishna. So, any comments or questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Well, there are none others that we have the commentaries of. There probably were earlier commentaries, but we've lost their commentaries. So, Sri Goswami is the oldest one that we can that we have the commentary of. He's not that old. It's not that nobody was commenting on Bhagavatam before 500 years ago, 600 years ago when he lived. But we just don't, we've lost their commentaries. Thanks to Shankaracharya and his friends, they made the Bhagavatam unpopular and everything was lost. Thanks to him and thanks to the Buddhists, the study of Bhagavatam was forgotten. It can be forgotten again in the future. This is our job to make sure it doesn't happen again. That everyone forgets to study the Bhagavatam and we lose Sridhar Swami's commentary again. When I was in 1980, I was in South India. I was supposed to be working on the Bhagavatam with Ridyananda Maharaj, but I took a year off to go to India. I was supposed to continue translating. The only copy I had of Sridhar Swami's commentary was on microfilm. And I had a microfilm machine to read it, but the bulb burned out. And at that time, in 1980, you could not obtain a halogen bulb in India. They told me we'd have to send away to Japan to get the bulb. So I could not read the microfilm in any ordinary fashion. I arranged through a friend to borrow a microscope and looked at the microfilm under the microfilm. You can only see about one word at a time under a microscope, microfilm. And I looked around all over Bangalore and Mysore and Madras to find a copy of Sridhar Swami's commentary. Not available. Even libraries didn't have it. At least where I looked. I finally found a copy in Bangalore. They told me I can't take it out. We won't Xerox it, but you can come and copy it by hand. So I went there and copied the chapters I needed, a couple of chapters by hand. It wasn't easy even then to get Sridhar Swami's commentary. Nowadays, Motilal Bharnasidas publishes it. We have the Puridas edition. So you can get it nowadays. But who knows, in the future, it may get, if we don't promote it, if we don't promote the Bhagavatam, then these commentaries can get lost again. Sridhar Swami's commentary could become completely lost. Yes. Okay, Krishna can revive all the species of life all by himself. He can do everything by himself. But he asks his devotees to do things for him for exchanges of a devotional ecstasy. Krishna doesn't need anybody's help at anything. Planting seeds of species of life. Krishna could create the whole universe all by himself. But he asks, he deputizes a lot of the work to Lord Brahma, to the Prajapatis and others, demigods, to give them some service and to enjoy an exchange of devotional service with them. Same thing. Why did he ask Manu of Vairasvata to collect the seeds when Krishna could have provided the seeds himself? To give his devotee a chance to serve him. Well, it's a pleasure pastime. He's going to destroy life throughout the universe. It's going to have to be revived. So in the pleasure pastime, an elaborate arrangement is made to collect all the species of life. This is also there in the Jewish tradition. The Noah and his ark, God flooded the world. He told Noah to build an ark and put two of each male and female of each species on the boat. So that was a pretty crowded boat with all sorts of wild animals on it. So the original version, going back to the beginning of our Manvantara, instead of dragging all the animals on the boat, he got the seeds. That's a lot, you know, easier to be on such a boat rather than a boat full of wild animals. Okay. Our attitude is we're servants. If our masters have a disagreement among themselves, it's not for us to get involved. But we have priorities. If we have two authorities, we have to know which one we follow first. If your Diksha Guru and your Shiksha Guru disagree on something, then you have to follow your Diksha Guru. If Shri Goswami and Jiva Goswami disagree, we have to follow Jiva Goswami. He's the authority representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Goswami is a predecessor. So, and normally Jiva Goswami will not criticize Shri Goswami. He'll simply give a different opinion. But we should take the opinion of Shri Goswami, of Jiva Goswami.
Just as if Prabhupada also has a different opinion, we accept
it. Prabhupada may have a different opinion on some things than whom? Than both of them. Yeah. Yeah. So if Prabhupada seems to contradict somebody else, we just follow Prabhupada. And it'll be, why this is so will be explained to us sometime in the future. Okay. Very often the contradictions are more apparent than real, but we're not mature enough to understand how it is. I don't get you. What was the opinion? Well, okay, so you're not sure whether Krishna experiences pleasure when he kills demons. Well, I don't know if I can speak as an authority on that. You can say Krishna always experiences pleasure no matter what he does. He won't do something that'll be unpleasant to him. I think you could say he enjoys when he kills demons, but it's not the killing that he enjoys. He enjoys the sport. He gets some pleasure in the act of killing, but it's not that he enjoys that it's killing itself that he enjoys. Hey, what's killing? You can't, you know, if you can give someone ultimate benefit by doing what looks like violence to him, if you're an expert surgeon and you can cut someone's dying heart out of his chest and put back a good heart, then that's not really violence. It looks pretty violent, ripping somebody's heart out. So like that, Krishna kills somebody, but he's giving him eternal life. It's not really killing anyway. And that he enjoys. Giving eternal life is what he enjoys. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Matsya. Matsya Prabhupada is... Please, please. Well, we only have the speculation of the scholars, maybe 1350 A.D. So 100, 150 years before Lord Chaitanya. Whose? Madhvacharya's. Okay, so Sridhar Swami is the original commentator in our line. But Madhvacharya did comment on it before that. And there may even be one or two other commentaries. Yeah, yes. But even if you only comment on 1,000 verses, you're still a commentator on the Bhagavatam. So we can't say he's not a commentator on the Bhagavatam because he didn't comment on the whole thing. So technically, he's also a commentator and he's older than Sridhar Swami. Almost certainly older. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe the scholars don't know what they're talking about. And Sridhar Swami is older than Madhvacharya. I just don't have any proof of that. Who says? Well, okay, but he's their man, and that's their opinion. So maybe. Yes. Does Madhvacharya mention Sridhar Swami? If he does, that makes Sridhar Swami older. Yeah, but Sudarshan Surti may have lived about the same time as Madhvacharya. And who else? Viragacharya lived in the 16th century after Lord Chaitanya. He was born about the same time as Lord Chaitanya, Viragacharya. So that he's not older than Sridhar Swami. Siddharthana Suri also probably is younger than Sridhar Swami. So both of them, they're both definitely younger than Madhvacharya, who lived only 100 years after, 100 years, was born 100 years after Ramanujacharya was. So these followers of Madhva are somewhat later. Those followers of the Sri Sampradaya are somewhat later than Madhvacharya. Okay, anything else? Yes, sir.
So in the spiritual world, he doesn't kill demons. So it seems that it's fascinating in the material world, there's something more in the spiritual world, because in the spiritual world, it's not
better. Yeah, the extra special feature of the material world is death. If you like death, come to the material world. There's no death in the spiritual world, so nobody gets killed. Sure. If you really want some death, come here. Yes. No. What about Janmalila? You're saying there is no Janmalila? On what authority? Who says it? Oh, you're asking? I don't know. I know some say that there's no Janmalila, but I don't know. I don't know who I'm criticizing. I don't know who I'm blaspheming if I say I disagree. But I'm doubtful this proposition that there's no birth of the Lord doesn't perform his Janmalila in the spiritual world. Okay, exhalation. Well, you see, what's that? Yeah, okay, but he's quoting Jiva Goswami, but I don't remember seeing that in the Sandarbhas. We can research it, whether Jiva Goswami does say that. Dr. Kapoor says some questionable things in the same book. He says on page 201 that Baladeva Dibhusha does not represent the true spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so we have to subject that to scrutiny. But you had some evidence? Quoted which? Obhiyal Kapoor's book? Okay, could you send me an email message, and I'll try to research it. I won't remember it unless you send me a message.
So he says that there is no birth of Krishna.
No, Dr. Kapoor does, yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes. Okay, so that means there's a make-believe killing. In this world, there's real killing. There might be some make-believe killing in the spiritual world. Well, same thing about this whole question of whether there's any birth. Krishna never really takes birth anywhere. It's all make-believe when his Janma Leela. So why can't he do it in the spiritual world too? I'm just wondering, but if Jiva Goswami really says that, he'll accept it. That Krishna's birth only occurs in the material world. Not only Krishna, other avatars also have their births. Not all of them. Some of them are just appear. Narasimhadeva appeared out of a pillar. He didn't have a mother and father. Other avatars don't, but many of them do. So those births only occur in the material world? I don't know. So I'll look through the Sandarbhas and try to dig that up. Okay. Last question. You're asking me, how will this movement continue for 10,000 years, as Prabhupada predicted, and what will happen afterwards? I can't say. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, how could it happen? It will happen by Prabhupada's desire and his mercy and the mercy of Prabhupada's predecessors and the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mechanism of how it happens, that's not so important. But what will actually make it happen is the empowerment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will empower his devotees, and they will deliver the world. And that will go on for 10,000 years. And what will happen after it is predicted in the Kapavatam. You can read in the 12th canto how Kali Yuga will develop. Kali Yuga will resume getting worse and worse after those 10,000 years. Okay. So we stop now. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.